a book, the world is not big enough to contain it. Oh. Of course, they use large print, so maybe that's part of it. But seriously, I mean, can you imagine? What he said was important. What Jesus said was important. And folks, I want to encourage you to keep your eyes tuned, your ears tuned to the events of the day. Things are changing so rapidly on planet Earth. Things are happening in the Middle East with so many countries as everything is changing economically, militarily, spiritually, and most of you are familiar with the cancel culture and just changing, for instance, history. Our nation, not just our nation, but other nations are changing history. Well, you cannot change history, but you can rewrite it. Okay? And so we might think that's not a big thing, okay? But it's kind of interesting, and I'm not saying this is prophetical or anything such as that. I don't know. But it, I know it caught my attention as, you know, I was made to realize that one of the greatest things that we as Christians have is the history of the church. The book of Acts is about the history of the early church. But we have a history that goes back to the time of Moses and as far as the very person. But history goes back to Adam and Eve. And you might think society might think, or whatever country, and it's going on in different countries. You know, they tear statues down and they get rid of things that they don't like and they reword history and the such. Well, friend, it'll happen to the church, too. It'll come to the day when they will change the history of the church. And Christianity will be canceled because you people are nuts. You can't even do math right. You know, 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. Well, okay. So they may humor us for a while, but folks, things are changing. And militarily around the world, things are changing. We just need to be on guard because there is going to be a deceiver on the scene like we've never seen. I pray we're gone before that happens, but we don't know that. And so we need to be aware of that. I'd ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel like you're being deceived in any way? Well, you say, no, I don't think so. Well, we need to always be aware of that. Lord, in what way would the enemy be trying to deceive me? Yes. So we know we need to stay in the fellowship of the saints. Don't cut yourself off from the believers. The enemy will do anything to keep you away from other Christians. And stay in the Word, stay in prayer, stay in faith, in your belief in Jesus Christ. I'd like for you to turn to chapter 21 of John. In fact, chapter 23, we find Jesus' crucifixion and burial and etc. And we might note that In chapter 23, verse 53, 54, they had taken Jesus' body down and put him John. Well, you see, John is like Luke. It's a four-letter word here, and so I misread it. Okay, so I'm in Luke, okay? Some of you would have been looking for me in Hezekiah and some maybe in Revelation. I'm in Luke, though, okay? Sorry about that. Thank you. Thank you for asking. And that is not the first mistake I've made tonight. Okay? It goes on. I'm sorry. I am in, I'm in chapter 23. I probably said 21. If I was in John, I was probably in 21. But I'm not. I'm in Luke. Okay. So anyhow, it says in 55, Luke, L-U-K-E, Luke, same number of letters as John. Okay. I tell you, you think it's bad now. Should have seen it before I had my cataract surgery. Okay. And so the ladies came in verse 56 and prepared spices and such, and they were going to anoint his body. And then in the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the sepulcher, and they're going to do this. Okay, that gives us a place where we are. And chapter 24, the ladies have had the encounter with the angel. And the angel asked him in verse 5, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, he's risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, telling you the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again." That's history, friend. They said, "Remember how he told you this." And they remembered his words, and they returned and went and told the 11 these things. And then they went and told the apostles in verse 11, their tales seemed to them, or their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. So even people that had followed Jesus and had heard his words, this whole story about Easter, about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is too good to be true. It's just too good to be true. It is true, but it's beyond our comprehension that Jesus, a man, would die for people that crucified him. And he lives for people that crucified him. And he loves you no matter what kind of a scoundrel you are. And there's a lot of different kinds of scoundrels. But he loves you. And he loves the people around you. He loves your family, no matter how far they might be from him. He loves them. We're talking about Creator God loves them. And you ask him for them, he will deal with them. He will draw them to him. He loves them more than you do. And so they seem to him as idle tales. In other words, they have no meaning to it. Then arose Peter and ran to the sepulchre. He goes down to the grave and he looked in, and he wondered in himself the things that should come to pass. This is Peter. Now, would you note that in verse 13, there's two men that was on the way to Emmaus, village of Emmaus, and they talked together about these things. And as they were talking, Jesus himself drew near. And he joined with these men going down the road. And verse 16, their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They did not recognize who Jesus was. And he said to them, "What manner of communication are these?" What are you talking about, men? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said, "Are you a stranger in Jerusalem? You don't know what's been going on the last few days? You don't know the things that are come to pass?" And in verse 19, Jesus said, "What things?" So now let's see how they are going to respond to this. I want to share something with you that I fear lest some of us have not considered this. As far as they know, Jesus is dead. Correct? Something that has grasped my attention in the past few days are dead people. In fact, you see, we talked about this just a few services ago about the dead and how the dead know nothing, etc. And we're talking about their body, okay, their body. And yet Jesus died on the cross. Jesus died. He was dead. He was graveyard dead. Okay, he was dead for 3 days. His heart did not beat. His kidneys did not function. Nothing worked on his body. His mind did not work. He thought nothing, worried about nothing. Jesus was dead. And so now, I want you to think about something, and that is how you picture the dead. I want to leave you with this thought tonight. Be careful how you talk about the dead. Make sure they're dead. The Pharisees had a problem with that, with Jesus and Abraham. And Jesus said in John, he said, before Abraham was, I am. You're not even 50 years old, and you knew Abraham. And it's like Jesus said, oh, yeah, we meet quite often. Yeah, I mean, he didn't say that, but he said, yes. And so he showed to them, even those in another account where, you know, they, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. And, you know, he talked about Abraham as though he was alive, which, of course, he was. And he is. Jesus said he was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Let me tell you, we're covering over 100 years there. Several hundred years, in fact. So, make sure the people that you talk about when they're dead, make sure that they're dead. They may be like Abraham. The body may be in the grave, but they may be alive. Hello? And you see, this is important. It tells a lot about a person how they speak of the dead. Think of that. Think, well, it doesn't matter what I say about them, that good-for-nothing scoundrel. But you see, they may not be dead as far as God's concerned. In fact, if they're believers, they're not. So, they are Jesus. Knowing they think he's dead, he asked them about him. And I want you to note how they responded concerning a dead person. Now, we've got different categories of people, okay? We have people that are prominent, influential people influential in our lives, people that we love and care about, and we say good things about them, right? Then there's people that aren't so good. What do we say about them when they're dead? In fact, we may treat the dead people that were really influential and good to us and left us inheritance and such, we may treat them because they were somebody. Amen? Right. And people that were not so good to us, maybe mean to us, in fact, we may treat them like they were bad. I want to tell you about a category of people that's worse than the worst. It's the people who are dead because they're a nobody. Dead people are nobody as far as their body is concerned. So, wouldn't it be something if God someplace made an assessment of us as to how we treat nobodies? Nobody's. He asked these men about this man they think is dead. And they said, think about this, they think he's dead. And so they said unto him in the middle of verse 19, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, that's who they've been talking about, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Now, they could have said he let us down, but they didn't. And we were talking about how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned unto death, and they crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And he had said that he would rise the third day. You know, of course, they didn't really take it literal because it was too good to be true. Yea, and certain women and also of our company They astonished us. They went early to the sepulchre, and in verse 30, he says, when they found not his body, they came saying, they had also seen a vision of angels. Too good to be true, isn't it? Man, you know what? It was like, I saw an angel. No, you didn't think you saw an angel. You saw an angel. But it's too good to be true. And the angels, these angels we saw in a vision, they said that he was alive. I tell you, this vision thing is getting pretty good, isn't it? The vision's talking. They checked and they found out it was like the women said. Now, verse 25. He said to them, O fools, he's not putting them down. He's not saying they're idiots. He said, you're foolish. Because when you weigh the facts, you don't come up with the right conclusion. Now, I would say a person makes a foolish choice when he thinks that sign says curve and he goes straight. Or if it says bridge out and he keeps going. Or if in the winter it says slick spot and he doesn't believe it. And then he gets mad at the highway department because there was a slick spot there. Making bad decisions is foolish. When you weigh all the circumstances and it's obvious, then to go the wrong way is foolish, wouldn't you say? Yeah. Well, okay, people that do foolish things, oh, what are they called? Ooh, a fool. He says, you folks are making foolish decisions. And you're slow of heart to believe. There's our problem. We are slow of heart to believe. We're just like these men on the road to Emmaus. He said, look, man, you're making foolish decisions. You're leaving town too soon. You know what they did the next morning, man? They're out of there because they find out who Jesus is. And they make that trip back. But he says, oh, fools, people are making foolish decisions. How many foolish decisions do we make when we weigh the evidence? I mean, such things as he tells us to forgive our enemies. Now, I want to tell you, that's healthy for you. You think, well, if I keep forgiving everybody, they'll take advantage of me. Well, you poor soul. You're going to live to be an old person probably because you're not going to have a lot of diseases that come to people that hold bitterness against others. And so the Word tells us how to live. And if we weigh this, who gave us the Word, what's their track record, and we don't follow it, we're making foolish decisions. And so he says, you're slow to believe it in your heart. You're slow of heart. And he says, look, you're slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Friend, we're talking about the Old Testament. We're not talking about the book of Acts and the writings of Paul and the writings of Jesus. We have all of that and we're still slow to believe. If he says that he will take care of you, my friend, he will take care of you. If he says he knows what's best for your life, you can be sure he does. He knows your tomorrow and all the tomorrows you have. He can look back and see your future. He says, you're slow to get this in your heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Shouldn't he go through these things? And at the beginning of Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. I want to tell you what, they had quite a lengthy conversation. So he is sharing with them. And Moses said, he's going to raise up a prophet like unto himself. I can just see him saying these things. You know. And God told Abraham, and he goes through these scriptures that these men had. They knew about. And yet they were slow to believe. And so he shared all those things. And they drew nigh to the village where they went. And He said, "Oh, see you guys tomorrow," something like that. He just kind of greeted them by, and they asked him to stay and spend the evening. Ah, good choice. Because if they had let him go on by, he would have went on by. But they invite Jesus in. They invited Jesus into their house. Wouldn't we be foolish if we did not regularly invite Jesus into this house? They invited Jesus. And when they did, everything opened up to them. Everything opened up. Whenever he blessed the food, he stayed there with them over the night. And then in verse 30 said, "It came to pass, he sat at meat with them. He took bread, blessed it, broke it, gave it to them, and their eyes were opened." I don't know whether they saw the nail prints. I don't know what they saw. I don't know what happened. But their eyes were opened. They could have seen anything and not believe it up to that point. But the Holy Spirit caused their eyes to be open. One of the things we need to pray for our loved ones is that their eyes be opened. Hello? Do you have loved ones that need their eyes open? They don't see the obvious. They don't see the circumstance. They don't see what's going on in the world. Do you have loved ones that need their eyes open? Then ask. And quite frankly, you probably do too. Need your eyes open. But we don't know where we're blind. We don't know where we're blind. We don't know the spots in our eyes that we can't see things. What makes us think we need to pray for our loved ones, have their eyes open, and we don't need to have our eyes open? Lord, open my eyes that I might see what I need to see. And we often don't have because we don't ask. Their eyes were open in verse 31. And they knew who he was, and he advanced out of sight. And they say one to another, "Wow, we had our hearts just burned within us. The Word, truth, light, the Spirit of God speaking to them." And he says, our hearts burned within us all the time that he talked with us. So, if God lifts us up as he talks to us, if he encourages us, if he inspires us, if he helps us to be lifted out of the emotional state we're in, maybe the negatives that we're going through in life that day or whatever, if he is able to lift us up, why shouldn't we talk to him more? Hey, all the time we talk to him, all the time he talked to us, all the way. Man, our hearts burned in us. Well, hey, we live in a different day than those people lived in. We have the Spirit of God. We have God living in us. And he wants to talk to us all the time. We need to ask him, "Lord, reveal yourself to me." So, they rose up the same hour, and they took off back to Jerusalem, found the 11. And they said, "The Lord is risen indeed, and he's appeared to Simon." And they say, "Let's tell you what happened to us." And so they told their story in verse 35. How that he made himself known to them in the breaking of bread. And if you'd follow with me real quickly here, it says, as they spake, Jesus himself appeared right in the midst of them. And he said unto them, peace be unto you. And he said, then why are you troubled? What thoughts rise in y'all? What are you thinking? You ever ask somebody, what are you thinking? And they don't tell you what they're thinking because they probably don't know what they're thinking. But he asked them, what are you men thinking? He said, look at my hands and my feet. Touch me and see. I'm not a spirit. You're not imagining things. You're not thinking, seeing a vision. And he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they, look at this verse 41. While they yet believe not for joy. Too good to be true. Too good to be true. We would find it difficult if somebody came to you, I mean, literally, really, they came to you and they said, I don't know whether you enter or not, but you get $1,000 a week for the rest of your life. Publishers Clearing House has drawn your name. And yeah, you'd be just like they are on their ads, you know, people jump up and down and carry on. And you say, man, it can't be true. Friend, let me tell you, this is the true story. This is really the true story. Okay, this is the true story. Friend, it doesn't get any more real than this. He loves you. You know, Jesus said that he was given all power in heaven and in earth, correct?
Yes.
That's the power to forgive sins. That's the power to order angels to do whatever, and all angels are giving ministering spirits to those of us who should be heirs of salvation, according to Hebrews. And so he has the power to do anything. He said, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. That's what he said. Your Redeemer, your Savior, your friend. He says, hey, we'll be friends closer than brothers. He said, I'll call you my friend. I'm not going to call you my servant. I'll call you my friend. He even said, you can call me father. I'll call you son, daughter. He said, I'll never leave you. You think when you're on the way home tonight that he's not with you? Well, get down below the speed limit and he might be. No, seriously, he's with us all the time. He said he would be with us. And so we can stand on that. And so he said, you know, you're slow of heart to believe. And you make foolish decisions because you don't believe right. How many times do we make foolish decisions because we don't believe his word for what he says? He says he will never leave you. He says if you do certain things, he will do certain things. He says if you will forgive others, he will forgive you. Yeah. On and on and on. I think maybe Solomon had it right. David had it right. As they tell us how to live in the Psalms and in Proverbs and as such. You know, that we really can trust in the Lord with all of our heart. With all of our heart. We can trust God. And if it doesn't work, we know it's going to. Because we can trust God.
Amen.
So Jesus says to these men, he says in verse 44, these are the words which I spake to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Everything written in there, he says, concerning me has to be fulfilled. Now, he said concerning him because that's the subject, okay? Yeah, hey, you can believe that I am who I say I am, and everything has to be fulfilled. He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. Follow with me here. Thus it is written, and thus it beloved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you're witnesses of these things, he says to these people. And behold, I send the promise of the Father, of my Father, upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He said, I'm going to do what it said. It's going to happen. He said, I'm going to give you power. He admonishes them to receive his truth that I'm going to send you the promise of my Father. He said he's going to send the Spirit, and it's going to happen. Well, folks, sometimes we so underestimate what happened at the resurrection. You see, he defeated death, hell, and the grave, and everything less than that. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, which is the enemy with the sting, but it doesn't have sting anymore. The devil doesn't have a sting anymore by death. He does. If you don't know him, You should be very anxious, because when you quit breathing, then your choice making is over. But He has given us the promise of eternal life. The promise. What a day, this Easter day. I so appreciate everyone being here. I really, really do. I appreciate your faithfulness. I appreciate your love for God. I appreciate your love for one another. And folks, hang in there together, because it's going to change, okay? I want to encourage you over again and again. I know I've done it many times. Get out of debt, okay? Because it's going to be an enemy that's going to be used. And, there'll come a time, may not be now, it may be, you'll have to have a card to be able to get on an airplane to go someplace, shows you've been vaccinated against what, who knows, or to get into a grocery store or to do banking or whatever, okay? And it's going to get to where we can't follow things like that. It's not that way now, but it may get that way. But get yourself out of debt to where you don't have to do what the company store wants you to do. Boy, that dates me, doesn't it? But anyhow, let's just dig in and serve Jesus. Spend more time in the Word and more time talking with your loved ones about Jesus. Stand together with us. Thank you so much for your patience. Many of you were here early this morning before 6 o'clock. Some of you were greatly involved in making the breakfast. You've done a great job. Really, really great breakfast and great turnout. Appreciate it. But now it's time to get on. Let's get on with it. Hear those streaming. Make up your mind. You're going to serve God like never before, because there's never been an ever like this. And here we are. And we need to press on in it. Let us pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for letting us know a little bit about you. Give us understanding. Lord God, open our eyes that we might see. Lord, help us to know you like we've never known you before. I pray for every person here and those that are hearing us, Lord. Father, keep your people safe and healthy. Those, Lord, out in streaming land as well as here. Lord, I pray that you'd bring healing to their bodies. Bring healing to their bodies, Lord. Lord, a revelation of you and who you are and what you want to do in their lives. We entrust you. We entrust you, Lord, with our loved ones. We entrust you with our yesterday, our today, and all of our tomorrows. Bless your people bountifully, Lord. Lord, just almost more than they can handle. Lord, to where it's just almost too good to be true. But we know it's not when it comes from you. Thank you, Lord, for a wonderful day today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you